Matthew 6:19, we went through looking at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Really should be called the Disciples' Prayer because it's the pattern for us to pray. And then we jump past verses 16 to 18 because those really fit well with the previous passage of us not doing things to be seen of men. That's not why we should do things. It's called hypocrisy when we do it for those reasons, but we want to do things really to be pleasing in the sight of God. So now we're on verse 19 there in Matthew chapter 6. If you're there, say amen. All right, let's go ahead and read. It says there, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray. Father, it's good to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, as we open your word, I pray you speak to our hearts. Teach us, Lord. Help us to conform ourselves to your word. Lord, feed our souls. Help me as I speak your word. Speak through me. Use me, Lord. Please fill me with your spirit. Forgive me for sin in my life, Lord. Things that would hinder me from being the servant you want me to be. God, just help me be fully yielded to you. And those sitting here, the same thing, that they'd be fully yielded to you. God, we need you. We want to see you work. I want to see you really do miraculous things through this church, through the people here. And God, help us to be yielded to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I've titled this, "You Will Choose a Master." That's the title, "You Will Choose a Master." You know, there's certain things in life that you just can't remain neutral on. You can't just, "I'm just going to stand right here and I won't pick anything." This is one of them. When we begin to look at this here about not allowing money to be our master, it's not that you can remain neutral on it. It's going to be one or the other. Either money's going to be your master or really God's going to be your master. That's what it comes down to. You do have a master you follow. The question we need to ask is my master the Lord Jesus Christ? You've got a master. You can't be neutral. Who is that master? Who is your Lord? That's what Lord means, master. So who is your master? It's somebody or something is who you answer to. But there's a subtle little master we don't realize we can all easily bow down to, and it's called money. We don't realize how easy it can happen either. We could deceive ourselves into thinking, money's not my master, and if it's gone, or you don't have as much as you're used to having, it's amazing how much that could reveal about who you are and your character. It's very easy for us to follow after, as the Bible terms it right here, mammon. We need to be careful in regards to the importance we give to money and the things it can buy, so we don't end up servants to money and not servants to God. That's the danger right there. We'll end up a servant to money and not a servant to God. If you can't joyfully give to the Lord, there's a problem. There's a problem if you can't joyfully give to the Lord. If you begrudgingly give to Him, there's a problem right there. Every one of us needs to regularly ask ourselves, am I going to serve God or things that will burn up and have no real value? Who am I going to serve? Who's my master? Is it money? Look, I'm just telling you, some people don't like tithing, and I don't even talk about it that much. Maybe you think I do. I don't know. I don't think I do. But look, to me, 10% is baby Christianity, baby step, giving 10% of your income to the Lord. And He died for me. He gave His all for me. I can give Him 10%. He still gives me life. He still gives me air to breathe every day. That's baby Christianity. Building blocks, foundation is right there. And under grace, God always expects more of us anyway. God expects more. We have to ask ourselves, who am I serving? Who's my master? We'll get into this thing here as we progress through chapter 6, where it talks about us trusting God to provide for us, because what it comes down to is, do we have faith in God that God's going to provide? Do we really believe He's our Heavenly Father that's going to take care of us, or is it what we can see? Because the danger's there that we're going to serve mammon over God. We have to ask ourselves, who's our master? Who's the master? We can go blow. I can't believe even now that the price of vehicles is like $40,000, $50,000 for a new vehicle. That's just insanity to me. That's like half the price of a house. I can't even believe that. But people will go blow $40,000 on a new car, and they'll be in bondage to that for 7 years, making payments on that at $400, $500 a month. But they won't give 10 bucks to God? 10 bucks. That's nothing. That's nothing. See, I'm jumping ahead here a little bit. But verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Heart. Our heart. So, again, we need to ask ourselves, am I going to serve God or things that will burn up and have no real value? To put things in perspective, imagine this. Imagine your family is woken up in the middle of the night. You're coughing, choking on smoke. Your house is in flames. I mean, it's a burning inferno. What is important to you at that moment? What or who do you want safely by your side when your home lay in ashes? Are you going to be worried and be running around? Where's my cell phone? I need my cell phone. At that moment, is that what you're going to be thinking of? What matters? What matters in a moment like that? Are you going to care if your car's in the garage and it burns up? What really matters in a moment like that? The things that are eternal. That's what matters. It's not going to be stuff. Where's my computer? My TV, video games. None of that garbage. Where's my husband, my wife, my children, my mom, my dad? That's what matters. What's eternal. In a situation like that, that brings reality. That puts us in check about what really matters and what am I focused on. Ask ourselves, is it God or mammon? What's eternal or what's temporal and what's going to burn up? Who am I serving? What's important to God? If it's important to God, should it be important to us? I think we'd say yes. Well, what did God show was the most important thing to Him? I mean, honestly, how did He show what's most important to Him? Anybody? What did He do for us? He died for us. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's Him saying, this is what's important. This is what matters. Right here, souls. Eternal. Eternal. See, when your house is in flames, you're not going to be worried about stuff. None of it's going to matter. Where's my family? Where's my family? That's what you're going to care about. So are you serving money or God? See, because when I say money and stuff, it's interchangeable, because money is what can buy me stuff. And I'm not against stuff. It's not bad for any of us to have stuff. What the problem is we're so blessed in this country that this stuff ends up getting us. These are simply tools. That's it. That's all it is. I mean, I'm thankful for nice things. I'm thankful we have good stuff. But this stuff doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I mean, we're so blessed that, I mean, even if my Bible burned up, I'd be like, well, I can get another one. Now, if I was living like 500 years ago or something, that'd probably be something I'm dragging out of the house with me. I would be like, where's my Bible? I need my Bible. I'd probably still try and grab it if I could because I have my notes and stuff in it. But if not, I'd be all right. 500 years ago, you may not ever see another Bible again in your life if you got a copy. But, you know, money just represents the stuff that we can get. So I'm going to use those interchangeably as we look through this. So are you serving money or God? God gave the task to each of us to direct our hearts to focus on the eternal. He gave that to each of us. He said, you choose what you're going to do. You direct your heart if you're going to focus on the eternal. Look at verse 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures in upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things this world gives prominence to can all be lost, stolen, or destroyed. All of them. I mean, you got some rich people are like, oh, bury me. People have been buried in their car. I'm like, you're a fool. What a fool. Bury me in my car. Did you all hear the story about the just rich, rich man? I mean, he was filthy, rich, loaded, and he told his wife, when I die, I want you to bury me with all my money. Did you guys hear about this? No, he told her, I said, I want you to bury me with all my money. And so he dies and it's sad and a bunch of people come out because he was just this rich guy. I mean, just a ton of money. I mean, this guy was loaded and he had a ton of money and they have the funeral and they lower him down. They start throwing the dirt on. And then as everyone's leaving, you know, one of the friends sticks around and asks the wife, she said, well, hey, I remember your husband said that, you know, he wanted to be buried with all of his money, but that casket seemed a little small and I didn't see you put any of the money in. And she said, oh, I did. I wrote him a check and if he wants it, he can cash it. See, it's crazy that people want to be buried. They think they can take it with them. They can't do that. Not one of us can. We can't take this stuff with us. I think it was Job that said, you know, I was born into this world naked, I'll die naked. That's how it's going to happen. Amen. And none of it's going to matter. You know, you talk about people on their deathbed, they're not like, man, I wish I would have worked more overtime. Why didn't I work more overtime? I've never seen that. I've never heard of that. Nothing like that. The things that matter. That's where people have regrets. Man, I wish I'd have gotten out that second mortgage. No. Man, I wish I would have spent more time with my kids. Oh, I wish I'd have been a better husband, a better wife. The stuff that matters, what's eternal? People. That's what matters. See, that's what the money that goes in these offering plates is translated into eternal, by the way. If you think I'm after money, please don't give here. I think you all know that by now. Don't give here, though, if you think I'm after money. Honestly, don't. If you think that's what it is, you give here because you love the Lord, and that's it. If you don't love God, don't give. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. God has always taken care of my family. He always has. But He uses what we put in these offering plates. It's a higher exchange rate than anything else you can find. Because it's translated into eternal souls. The cost of these gospel tracts is translated into eternal souls. And there's people sitting in this room right now who've been saved because of gospel tracts have been put on their door. Maybe they, through whatever the circumstances, brought them to this church and they heard the gospel and got saved. Praise the Lord for that. See, that's eternal. That's what matters. But these aren't free. See, that mammon, we need it because it's, like I said earlier, it's just can be used as a tool. That's it. Can be used as a tool to reach people. That's what God's talking about when He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But the things that this world gives prominence to, that they're like the greatest and so important, can all be lost, stolen, or destroyed. Moths will rot them out, rust will destroy them, or thieves will break in and steal them. And that's just what happens. in this world. But the world says that it's the greatest thing ever and you need all this stuff and you know you're not, hey, if you don't have the latest pair of Nikes or whatever, you're loser. Loser. You know, and then you grow up and you realize that doesn't even matter. I don't even care. No one I talk to even cares about that. It's so unimportant. But when you're a certain age, that's everything. Got to have the name brand stuff. Man, I was always the kid. I always had the cool stuff when it was not cool anymore. Anybody else like that? I'm like, finally, I got something cool, but it's not even cool now. It's like, oh yeah, that's how I was. Anyway. The world's going to give prominence to stuff that doesn't matter. Don't get sucked into that because it's an easy trap to fall into. It's an easy trap. I mean, how long? It's crazy to me when a new iPhone comes out. You got people camping out for a phone. Like, are you that big a loser that you want to camp out for a phone? You can't wait like a week? I mean, really? I mean, maybe you know somebody. Like, maybe it's family members have done it or something. Maybe you've done it. I don't know. I still mean what I said. You're a loser, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Not really. There's no backtracking from that. I already said it, so it's just out there. But that's crazy to me. See, that's stuff having us. That's us serving mammon and not serving God. That's not what God wants. And again, God's not against you having nice stuff. God's not against Christians being rich. Amen? Because there are lots of people in the Bible who have been filthy rich. Solomon's probably the richest man that ever lived. God's not against us having money. He's against money having us. Bible says, I think it's 1 Timothy 6:10, the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say, people mess that verse up all the time and they say money is the root of all evil. No. Money is a tool that we all need. I need money to buy food to feed my family. It doesn't mean it's evil to have money to buy food to feed my family. But the love of money is the root of all evil. Greed. Greed. That is the root of all evil, the love of money. What we need to do is give ourselves to what's truly important, to that which is eternal. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves, he says, so don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where they can be stolen, rotted, you know, corrupted. Don't lay up treasures like that. What does he say to do? But rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, there ain't nobody here that can get up to heaven and take anything from there. None of us can go up there and steal it. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Put it up where it'll last, where it'll be there when you get there. Amen? Send it on ahead. Praise God. That's what God's talking about here. Focus on what really matters. So much of the stuff we give our attention and our focus to in this life does not matter. We're wasting our time on so much of what we give our money to, our attention to. Be honest with me. How many of you have ever gotten to get on Facebook or whatever, Twitter or anything like that, Pinterest, and you're like, I'm just 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes, and an hour later you look and you're like, oh man, I can't believe I've been on for an hour. Anybody? Yes? No? Some of you are liars, not raising your hand. I'm right there with you. I've done it before. Okay, look, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Okay, maybe it's not that you want to be on Facebook or something. Maybe it's just, you know, talking on the phone, gossiping. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Maybe it's just spending 4 hours binge watching television. What a waste. What a waste. In the end, it doesn't matter. See, we have to always constantly reevaluate our priorities. All of us. Man, I'm guilty of this stuff. All of us. And let's focus on what really matters. What is eternal? Because that's all in the end that's going to matter. When we die and get to heaven, what's there? Hey, when my house is burning and in flames and I get outside, who's with me? Right? That's what matters. That's it. Not that other stuff, not this. None of that stuff matters, but Who's with me out here on the sidewalk as we watch our house burn? That's temporal. We still see that. We say, I still want my family here. Amen. Now think about for eternity. What really matters? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So we need to give ourselves to what is truly important. It's our responsibility to guide our hearts to what really matters. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Look, if you've invested all your money or a big portion of your money, or it doesn't even have to be a huge portion of your money, but a good chunk of your money into a vehicle or something, or a television or anything, whatever it is for you. I don't know, it could be anything. Whatever it is, if you've invested into that, whether you want to admit it or not, your heart is there. Your heart is there. If it's in your house, your heart's there because you've invested, unless you think God's lying to you. Let's read it. Verse 21. Look at it. Pay attention to what it says. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus said that. God Himself said that. So if you don't think it's true, then you take it up with God and you tell Jesus that He's wrong. I don't care what it is. You might say, not me. Then God's a liar. Then God's lying to you. Because He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So what does your money go to? Your heart's in it. Your heart's in it. That's it. Plain and simple. What you put your money into is where your heart's at. So, well, I got to have a place to live. Okay, we got that down. Need a place to live? But do you have to always keep up with the Sanchez's? It's not the Joneses here, it's the Sanchez's. You have to keep up with the Sanchez's here? No, you don't. Do you have to always have a new vehicle? We need a vehicle, okay. But does it always have to be the nicest, the best, and brand new? I mean, you ask yourself this, where's your heart? I don't know. But wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You mark it down, that's what the Bible says. I mean, if you get a brand new car, I don't know anyone that wouldn't be like this. Maybe, I'm sure there's some out there, but if you have a brand new car and it gets scratched, I mean, aren't you going to be bummed? I would be. Man, my car got scratched. Who did that? Someone, you know, hits you, scrapes your side or something. What are you doing? You hit my car. Right? Because you have money invested in it. Your heart's there to some degree. That's what the Bible says. So we need to direct our hearts to what's eternal, to what really matters. And again, it's not this stuff. So this is really something serious that go home and like think about this. Open up your checkbook and look at where's all my money going to? How much goes to the Lord, to what's eternal? Ask yourself. I pray one day that our biggest giving can be, you know, that we're giving bigger than anything else to missions. That's what I would like our biggest monthly payout to be, would be to missions. If we can do that one day as a family. Right now it's our mortgage. Can't wait till that's gone. Loving the day when that's gone. It'll be a good day. Praise the Lord. But it's like 25 years away. I don't know, maybe not that many. 24, something like that. So we got a little ways on that one. Hopefully we can pay it off sooner. But ask yourself, evaluate where you're at. Look at where does my money go? How much goes to what's eternal? And can we put a price on our salvation? Say, no way. Can't put a price on that. I can't give enough. And it's not that we give so we can try and pay for our salvation or something like that. But man, out of thankfulness. If you think I'm trying to guilt you into giving, I'm telling you, don't give. Do not give. Okay, don't. If that's what you think I'm trying to do. But ask yourself, what is God saying right here? I'm telling you, He's telling us we need to focus on what's eternal, not on the temporal stuff that so much of our lives are focused on. If persecution really hits, you're not going to care what car you have. You're going to be wondering, where am I going to get my next meal? Okay? I mean, if real persecution that most of Christianity has suffered for the last 2,000 years hits in this country, you know, people getting their heads cut off, you know, we're going to be meeting hoping we don't get caught. We're going to be praying, Lord, help us. Keep us invisible. as we serve you, as we follow you. This stuff isn't going to matter. One of the first things we'll probably get rid of are these tracking devices on these. They know everywhere we go with these. I mean, I get these phones. I'm like, you're 15 minutes from home. I'm like, how do you know? Because it goes everywhere I go. We already know. Edward Snowden told us that the NSA can turn the cameras on at any time. Listen to us audio anytime. Our own government spying on us. What Bill of Rights? As those we elected do this to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. What's any of that matter? We know that. These will be gone. I won't even want that. All this stuff we think is important won't matter. How am I going to keep my family safe? You know, that's why sometimes you'll hear preachers say that, man, what American Christianity needs is persecution. I don't want persecution by any means. I hope we just get right with God without that having to take place. But as I look at what the Bible says, I'm like, I have no clue other than God's great, wonderful mercy why He is withholding His hand of judgment on this nation. Where we are at. Look at where we're at in comparison to Romans 1. And that is like the beginning stages of God's judgment that He's giving us over to that. We're in the beginning stages of God's judgment. And I don't know what's holding His hand back other than a righteous remnant that's still here, still seeking to follow Him. And praise God for it. But look, if something like that does happen and persecution really hits hard, all the stuff we think is important now will not matter. It'll be done away with. So why wait for that? Can we focus on the eternal now? On what really matters now? I mean, is spoiling your kid rotten so they can have everything you never had, the best thing? Or so they can, well, I had this and my kids had that and they had the new Jordans and the new Nikes and the new outfits and all this stuff. My kids got all that stuff I never had. But how about this? Do they have a goodly heritage? Do they grow up knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, knowing that there's a good church and good fellowship with people that love the Lord and are following the Lord, and they know what salvation is, and you're teaching them these things, and you're training them up in the way of the Lord, and you're showing them what the Word of God says so they can guide and build their lives on the principles in the Word of God? Do they know that? Because that's what'll last. That's what'll last. That they wouldn't deny the faith if persecution were to come. That's what'll matter. No matter what comes, that's what's important. But it's what's eternal. What are we showing them? It's our responsibility to guide our hearts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So look, if your heart's not into the Lord's work and what's eternal, then let me tell you how to fix that. Start giving to it. Because where you put your treasure is where your heart will be. If you invest your treasure into, you know, $100 cable bill and all this stuff every month, how can we do that and give God, you know, 20 bucks a month? I don't get that. I don't understand that for the life of me. I don't. I can give my Savior more than that. We all ought to be able to do that. What's important to us? Are we serving God or mammon? Ouch, is this convicting anybody else? This is what we have to ask ourselves. This is what God's talking about right here. We want to be disciples. I mean, that's what this is, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, here, you want to see what it's like to be a disciple? Here it is. Lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Or treasures on earth, I mean, where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where they can't be stolen, where they can't be corrupted. That's a heart check right there. Better evaluate what you're doing. Evaluate the decisions you're making. You living for your job so you can get more money to do whatever, the next wasted thing that you have nothing to show for it? And I get it, we have to work. I understand that. But is that the most important thing? We can justify it. Well, I'm working this hard so I can save money, so I can spend family time and we can go on a vacation. See, I can justify it. I know how to do it. I'm good at justifying my sin. I've had a lot of practice. I know how to do it. But am I serving God or mammon? Are you serving God or mammon? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You might say, well, I'm in such a bind, I can't give to God. I can't give like I should. I want to tithe, but I can't. I'm in such a bind. I'd rather rob Visa and MasterCard, I'm telling you right now, than rob God. I mean, set out your budget. If you want help, I'll sit down with you. I'll go through your budget. I'll help you so you can, you know, pay that stuff off. I'll show you how you can do it. I will help you do that. The only debt my family has is our mortgage, and I cannot wait till that's gone. We have no other debt. I don't own a credit card. I have a debit card. So if the money's not there, we're not buying it. Why? Because the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Who's your master? I don't even like being in bondage to the mortgage company. But I mean, I am. As soon as I can be out of that, I'm going to be out of that. Could you imagine if you didn't have any debt? Think about it. If you didn't have any debt, man, how much money you could give to the Lord's work. How much you could give to the Lord if you didn't have any debt. Think about that. And if you're making a $400 a month car payment and then $200 in credit cards, that's $600. $600 every month. What's that? $7,200 a year. Again, if you think I'm trying to get you to give money to us here, then just don't give here. But if you want to be a disciple, you want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your heart's not in it, I'm telling you, start giving money to it. I like what Dave Ramsey said about it when one of the creditors called him when he was trying to get out of debt. They called him up and he said, oh, you're not above the line. And the guy's like, what do you mean I'm not above the line? And he explained it to him. He said, well, here's all the money I have to go out every month and you haven't gotten above the line yet. So when I pay this one off, you'll move up. And once you get above the line, then you'll start getting paid. Well, amen. Do we even calculate our tithe and our missions into our budget? Do you do that? See, we're to give to the Lord of our first fruits, not the leftovers. See, you give the first fruits, that's faith. If you give the leftovers, you're like, well, what can I give now? I've paid everything else. I've paid all my taskmasters. So what else can I get? What's left over for me to give to the Lord? Oh, I think I got two nickels to rub together. He can have one. Is that what we're doing? That's not faith. That's not faith. Before we look at anything else, here's God, here's what we got. Here's what's going to you, God. We got 1,000, you get 100. That's just what we do. And if we have money to pay the bills, praise God. We can pay the bills then. But we're giving to God first. And the amazing thing has happened. That God's always taking care of us. Always. Always. Hey, if you don't believe me, try it out. Test Him. He told you in Malachi 3. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. It means test me. He's like, I double dog dare you. Try it. That's what He's saying. Try me. Test me. Hey, look, if you want your heart to be where God wants it to be, then start putting your money towards the things that God says is important. What's eternal? Well, that's souls. Souls, that's it. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what matters. That's it. So if you want to have your heart where God's heart is, then start giving to those things. More than you think you're able to. By faith. By faith. Start giving to Him. See, being a disciple is some serious stuff, man. It's a real gut check. I'm talking you teens too. Man, if you get an allowance, you better tithe on that thing, didn't you? Aren't you blessed by that? Aren't you increased by that? Then give to God out of that. Give to God. You know, you teach people when they're young, it's easier when they grow up. When we first started tithing, I was like, what, 10%? You crazy? Because I'd never done that before. I didn't give anything. You know, my mom would give me a dollar when the plate would come around, and I'd put that in. That's what I gave. And I never gave anything. But I was lost. Then I got saved, and I was like, man, 10%, I don't know how we can do this. How am I going to tell this to my wife when I knew we were going to start doing that? And I told her, I was like, we're going to start giving 10%. She was like, okay. It was like no sweat for her. She's always had more faith than me. My wife always has. Things are easier for her like that. We all have our strengths. That's one of hers. She's just like, oh, yeah, no problem. I was like, no, we're going to start giving 10% of our income. And she was like, yeah, go ahead. And I was like, are you listening? We're going to give 10%. She was like, yeah, go ahead. I was like, okay. And praise God, we get more than that now. God's always taking care of us. It's amazing. It's amazing. The things in heaven are what's eternal. When you die, the things in heaven or that will be coming to heaven will be what matters to you. That's it. You're not going to be like, oh, can I have, you know, my, will I still have my favorite, you know, cell phone, my, you know, my favorite movie, my favorite whatever it is, car, is my car going to get to be there with me in heaven? That's not going to, none of that's going to matter. You're going to, family, souls. You're like, that's what I want with me up here. In hell, the people in hell don't want their family to go there. The people in hell focus on what's eternal. The rich man said to Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers. If one rises from the dead, they'll believe him and they'll repent. I don't want anybody coming to this place of torment. Even in hell, they focus on what's eternal. But we, as much as God's blessed us, we're at ease in Zion. And we've been given so much, and we waste so much of it. We waste so much. And we don't focus on the eternal because we've been blessed so much. I've never a day in my life had to pray, God, are you going to feed me today? Maybe when I was younger, but I don't remember. I know we were poor, and there was times, even then, I think we always had food. It might have been, you know, beans, but we had food. I can't remember a day in my life when I've ever had to say, God, are you going to feed my family today? My children are starving. Are you going to feed them? We've been so blessed. We've been given so much. And we squander it because we get so caught up in the stuff that we want, the things that we need, we think we need. It's not our needs, it's our wants. So ask yourself, are you serving God or mammon? Where is your heart? Is your heart on what's eternal? Or is your heart on the temporal and what can be stolen, burned up, and destroyed? Let's pray.